See, we were in the midst of a series called Fight, and we are being reminded that there are things in life that are worth fighting for. We need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to fight for the things that God has called us to fight for. And the thing we have to remember is that we were called to fight. Sometimes we think that maybe we were called just to sit around and love on each other, and that's a part of it, but we are also called to fight. We're called to fight for Him and to make Him known. We're called to fight for His Spirit. We're called to fight the good fight of faith. And so we're going to continue that fight today as we talk about fighting because our children are worth fighting for. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that your children are our children as far as the church and your children individually are worth fighting for? I know some of you parents are looking going, I don't know. We didn't feel like it this morning getting ready for church, right? But they are. They're precious. And today God's going to reveal to us just exactly not only how precious they are, the good things that we do, but how much more we can do to bless them and touch them and reach them. We originally had set to do this last week to celebrate Children's Sabbath, and a little guy named Nate came ashore and kind of wrecked all of that. And the children had worked hard to do something to present before us today, and we didn't want that to be wasted, and we didn't want people to come up and get out in that and risk getting hurt. We didn't know if it was going to be bad or not, so we kind of pushed that back to this morning. But I think it's still fitting. Because I think and I know that God is still moving, and this message is a message we could pull out any time. Do we fight for our children, or do we fight against our children? Now, the Sunday school answer is this. Yeah, of course we fight for our children. Children are precious, right? That's what we all say. But we really need to bear down and see, do we fight for our children, or do we fight against our children when it comes to matters of the faith, when it comes to being in the church? How is it that we approach our children? How are we supposed to approach our children? What is it that Christ says about their role in our lives? We find that today. If you have your scripture, you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 10. We're going to begin our journey there today. Mark chapter 10, I'm reading out of the English Standard Version this morning. Beginning in verse 13, I challenge us all to open our hearts and minds as Christ speaks to us through His Word. Mark 10, verse 13 begins with this. And they were bringing children to Him that He might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, He was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And He took them in His arms and He blessed them, laying His hands on them. And let me bear this down. Let's get down to common sense. Let's talk like people from Mount Olive in Gardendale, Alabama. Let's talk about what that verse means. There were kids in the sanctuary, right? If we put this into our modern day context, we found kids in the sanctuary. And when we found the kids in the sanctuary, someone rushed and told the pastor, "There's some noisy, destructive little devils in the sanctuary," right? Well, y'all would never say that, would you? Maybe to yourselves, but you'd never come say that to me. But the disciples saw this. They saw that this was going on. People were bringing children to Jesus so that Jesus could touch them and bless them and heal them. They were bringing their children to the one place where they had answers for their children. I don't know about you, but as a parent, there have been many days when I didn't have an answer for my children. There have been most days when I didn't have an answer for my children. How do I get them from what they're giving me right now to where God needs them to be? How do I make sure they're safe? How do I make sure they have the right knowledge? It's hard. So these parents were bringing, they were coming to Christ because Christ was the only thing they had left. They were bringing, not just parents, but others, bringing the children so that Jesus could touch them. They were bringing children into worship. And the disciples, they wanted to protect the holiness and the sanctity of this time. They wanted to protect what they were enjoying, this whole idea of here's the Savior, the Messiah, and the people are coming to Him, and the children, they're kind of being a bit of a distraction, because guess what? The children don't know how to act, right? The children didn't know how to approach Jesus. They didn't know how to come humbly. They couldn't recite Torah. They didn't know what was going on. Did they really need to be there? What if something got broken? Oh, what if one of the children broke something as they were coming to Jesus? What if one of the children stepped on Jesus' foot? Would He say something unchristlike? I've always wondered that, you know? I always wondered, when Jesus stumps His toe, what does He say? I know what y'all say, right? What would He say? I just wonder. I don't know. Oh me? Oh Father? I don't know. So the disciples weren't doing anything really bad. They found that there were children approaching Christ, and they didn't understand how this was supposed to happen. They didn't know if the children were supposed to be there. They weren't being evil people. They weren't being bad people. They were just trying to protect this thing that they had, these boundaries. This is how it's supposed to happen, and this is how it's supposed to look, and this is how you're supposed to be when you're in the presence of Christ. And maybe the children aren't ready for that. How many times has that been said in churches? The children don't know how to behave, so maybe they don't need to be in worship. Maybe we need to have children's church from the very beginning to the very end. The children don't know how to sing songs. They can't read the slides yet. Do the children need to be here with us in the presence of Christ? For those of you who attended our former first service, our traditional service, you remember that we usually only had one, maybe two families of children that would show come up on a regular basis. But you remember that while we were there and we would say the Lord's Prayer, that there was a little voice that rang out above all the rest of y'all's, and how precious and how sweet that voice was. Children belong in worship. Children belong in the presence of Christ. And yeah, they don't know how to act. And thank God for that. Because we need to forget how to act sometimes too. Right? How many times have you seen a child come to the front? God forbid, they got away from mama. They got away from grandmama. They got out in the aisle and they came down the front and they just danced with joy because they liked the beat of the music. Don't we need to dance to the beat of the music sometimes in full joy? It would help us to connect to God so much. Jesus saw what was going on. He said, stop it. Don't hinder the children to come to me. Don't hinder the children to come to me. That's His command to His disciples, and that's His command to us. Don't keep the kids from coming close. There's a purpose. And there's a place for them in our midst. Do we hinder at our church? Again, let's just go ahead and get the Sunday school answer out of the way. No, we don't hinder the children. Let me remind you of the Christmas squirrel incident. Now, some of you are struggling right now because I didn't spell Christ out in Christmas. I put the X, right? The Greek chi for Christ in front. It fit the slide better, right? It's not a big deal. But the Christmas squirrel incident, a few years ago, we had the precious nativity scene that we always have, that we always want to protect, and we do our best to take care of that. And we came in one week, and one of them was down on the ground. And two adults, and I'm not going to name names, but you know who you are, and I'm not getting on to you, but two adults came to me and said, I bet it was those kids. Those kids are always running around in the church unsupervised. I said, well, when are kids running around the sanctuary unsupervised? Well, after the meal, they're in there running around, and sometimes during band practice, they're running around, and those kids have done this, and you need to put a stop to it. And I did. I felt, oh, man, I don't want children breaking that. I don't want that to be something we go on. So we get to do a little investigation, and a few weeks later, we find some gnaw marks on one of the altar rails. Well, those kids are eating the altar rail. Well, I'm not sure that's the kids. We do feed them, and... But I didn't have an excuse for it. I didn't know why there was gnaw marks on the altar rail or why there was one of the parts of the nativity on the ground. And I'm still, what is going on? Why are the kids? Why are the kids? And then we found the culprit. He was wrapped up, mummified, so to speak, underneath the bunting underneath one of the Christmas trees up here. You see, for years we've had a squirrel that from time to time comes in somehow through into the church. He's run across here. Some of you have experienced that. I have never had the joy of being here when the church squirrel comes running through. But I've always prayed that I could one day. Well, the squirrel had gotten in the church. It was the squirrel trying to get out that had knocked that off. It was the squirrel in his hunger that tried to eat the altar rail and did some other mischief. And unfortunately, it was the squirrel that gave his life to protect the children. But those adults who came to me and said, we've got to stop the kids from running in the church, they weren't bad people. They weren't bad people. They were just trying to protect God's holy house and the important things that are in it, right? We can't find fault for that, but it was misplaced. So do we hinder our children? Gosh, we got to say maybe just a little bit, because our first thought was not squirrel. I don't know whose first thought would have been squirrel, okay? But our first thought was to blame the children. Can I just tell you, there's a lot of adults who run through here carrying bags, carrying books, carrying things too big for them to carry that bump into things. I know most of you have not gnawed on an altar rail that I know of. But it could have been anyone that knocked it off. Why do we sometimes go to children and youth first? Let me tell you why. Because of people like I used to be, a youth pastor. My first job in the Methodist Church was at Taylor Memorial United Methodist Church. And one of the first things that I got in trouble for there was a night in which we turned off most of the lights in the sanctuary. And we put a soccer ball out and we put kids in the pews upside down. And we had human foosball in the sanctuary. Right? Some of you are looking, oh, you didn't. It was a great time. We had a lot of guests, but some of those guests came back. It was a good time. May not have been appropriate for the sanctuary. I admit that now, a few years later. Sometimes we hinder because we instantly jump to, well, the kids did it before, so it's probably the kids doing it now. And we'll say that, and guess who hears sometimes? Little ears. And those little ears hear people say, the kids don't need to be in the sanctuary. And we think they're innocent and they didn't register that. But sometimes that sticks a lot deeper than we think. Do we hinder? In the church universal, do we hinder? How about the way we use our building? Do we always get the best spaces to our children? How many churches have you been in where they have a nice new sanctuary and the youth meet in the old building? Why do they give the youth the old building? Well, they're probably going to tear it up anyways, right? Someone asked me the other day, why does this church grow and why does that church grow and why does this church grow? You know one of the things they all have in common? They invest in children and youth. They don't give the children and youth the outcast or the old. They build new for the children and youth. They invest in them. Now here, that's not the case. I wasn't here, and many of you weren't here when all of this was built. But that's the case in the church, generally speaking. It's the people that put money in the plate when it comes time for a building project. They say, we paid for it. Give us a new space. We deserve a new space. We've been meeting in that room for a long time. And that's not a bad thought, is it? But it's a better thought when we say, our kids need a new space. Let's invest in them first and we'll take care of ourselves later. We've been meeting in this classroom for 30 years. We could meet here 10 more years. Sometimes we hinder without thinking about it. Sometimes that hindering does great damage. And sometimes that comes to be because we as leaders in the church don't put youth or children's representatives on all of our teams. And so when we get ready to have a decision about what's going on, there's no youth going, why are we doing it that way? And that's why we don't put youth on our teams, right? But maybe we should. Maybe we should listen to their voice as well. So when Jesus says, don't hinder the children to come to me, what's the opposite of hindering? So I go and I look up the antonyms. First, I had to look up which one was antonym and synonym because it's been a long time since 7th grade grammar. But I figured out, antonym's the opposite, as you all know. So what is the opposite of hindering? And here's the words that came back. Advance. Advance the children closer to Christ. Push the children. I like that one. Push the children closer to Christ. Allow the children to come closer to Christ. Assist. There's another hard one. Assist the children to come close to Christ. Release the children to come close to Christ. Start the children coming closer to Christ. Encourage the children to come closer to Christ. That's the opposite of hindering. So when Jesus says don't hinder, he really means that we need to take these words and plug them in. And so my question today is, what words best describe our church's view of children? Well, we have a group called Level Up, and they're looking at the future vision for the church, and children and youth come up in that group a lot. And it's not all young adults with kids. There's some, I always say that I have to find nice words because Denise will write letters to the bishop. There are more experienced members on the team, and there are younger members on the team. There are those with kids and those without kids. But all of them understand that that is what we are called to invest in. And so I would say that this group of words, this advance, this encourage, this allow, this assist, this is the words that I would use to describe our church about how our view of children are. We love our children and we're trying to find ways to reach our children. But a better question might be you individually. What words best describe your view of children in church? Because it's one thing for us to get in a group. We have a lot of other people and we go, yeah, children are important. Let's invest in our kids. Yeah. But it's another when they're making too much noise and distracting us. I love the Vacation Bible School service this year when all the kids were sitting over there and seeing all of your faces when they would get a little bit rambunctious. At the beginning of the service, it was, oh, it's precious. So cute. By the end of the service, it, can you really shut up? I can't hear. You know, come on, right? What's your view of children in the church? In all honesty with God as your witness, how do you really feel when you see children in the church? And a good view... Every time I say something, that light either goes on and off. I don't know if that's God saying, hey, that's a good point, or thumbs down, strike. I don't know. But it's totally distracting me. Anyone have a BB gun? I could take care of that real quick. Anyways, I'm sorry. That's Pastor ADD. That's killing me. How do you feel about children in the church? And the way to answer that question best is this. How many of our children and youth in this church do you know by name? Because if you don't know them by name, chances are you're not praying for them, you're not investing in them, and you don't love them like we should. That will hurt just a little bit. But it's truth. What can we do? Well, yesterday a group of people got together and they updated a playground that was provided by another group in the church that said, what we have is inadequate for the children. It's dangerous, it's rough, it's causing splinters, and let's get something new. And so they used the money that they at their disposal and they purchased it. Some other folks have come to put it together. Some other folks have come to lay mulch underneath it. And we're on our way to updating a playground and giving our children a very nice place to play. Not just for our children in our church, but we have a group of children that meets here on Tuesdays. And they need a place to play. We're hosting a homeschool group here. Monday through Friday, we have this other group of children that are turning our world upside down in good ways. They're after school care. Also known as daycare, if you ever ask me, because I can't never remember to say after school care. And they need a place to play and get rid of some of that energy. And we're building that for them. And that's a good thing, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud that we have that mindset and those resources. I'm proud that we have a gym that we allow children and youth to use. How else can we do it? We can go out today and we can sign up on that nice big poster board out there for helping a trunk or treat. You know, trunk or treat's coming up, and it won't be just our kids. It'll be 300 or 400 or 500 or 600 kids from around the area coming through that gym on one night. And you know what? It is just a night to give away free candy if we want it to be. But it could also be the night in which we speak words of grace and love and give children and their families Christ before they leave. So we could sign up for that tonight. It doesn't mean trunk or treat. Maybe you want to help park cars, or maybe you just want to buy candy. But there's all kinds of different jobs. And when service is over, you can rush out there and beat people out of the way so you can put your signature by what you want to serve on. And if you run out of spaces, Sarah has a notebook. Find her. We could sign up for, I love all these P's. We could sign up for LP, GP, or KP. Now, if you're in the service, or if you were in the service in the past, you might not want to sign up for KP until you know what it is, right? But LP, Learning Point. Each week, more children show up. Heard a story this morning from Learning Point, our tutoring program, of a child who came in with a D in math, and after a week or so of help, she has an A in math. God's doing good stuff. But not only that, we're having words of encouragement. A student had something else, a cheerleading thing, come up. She was only going to be here for a few moments. Begged her mom, can I please go to tutoring just for 20 or 30 minutes before we have to go to cheerleading? And my mind goes, what is wrong with that child, right? God's doing some good stuff, and there's always room for anyone to sit down and read with a child if you have a Thursday evening that's open just for a little bit. All you have to do is see Miss Amanda. Growing Point is in need of volunteers. Do you know that in the last few weeks we've tripled the size of our after-school care? Tripled. Do you know at the same time we didn't triple our resources? And there's some people who are tired, but there are kids in there that need the love of Jesus Christ. So maybe you can show up one or two or three or 5 days a week and drive a van. Maybe you can spend a little bit of time in the afternoon volunteering one or two afternoons just to be a floater and help out. Another set of eyes. There's all kinds of ways you can volunteer. And KP is Kids Point. Children's church taking place right now. Sunday school. Wednesday nights. I love this lady right here. And she didn't know I was putting this in. She's like, I'm never coming back again. Miss Natalie has poured into those children almost single-handedly for so, so long. And she loves doing it. But you know what else she would love? Some help. And I bet she would love to go and have adult conversation on a Wednesday night too. A lot of you get to have adult conversation. And then sometimes it goes, well, I've already served children. I served that in my past. Again, I'm just going to ask you, where in here does it say you ever get to quit? Oh, it does on the day you meet Jesus face to face. Until then, there's something for us to do. So we find our children's director and we say, how can I help? Where can I plug in? Can I teach Sunday school one Sunday a month? Can I teach Wednesday night one Wednesday night a month? You don't know how much that would do to help out our children and the people who lead them. What about creating space for nursery and children's church in this building? I know some of you are like, well, why would we do that? We have a nice nursery right over there. We've done some exit interviews of guests who have come to our church who didn't come back, and sometimes they find it's hard to find their way around our sanctuary, our campus. We've got to fix that with signage. But some of the others are, I'm not real comfortable with my children being in another building. That's an issue. Can we fix it? I think we can get our minds together and find a solution to that. But first, we've got to want to. But here's the biggest one. Talking to and getting to know the children. Every Sunday, there are children in this church. And while we are having our adult conversation, talking to our friends and our peers, they're running past us, running around us. And they go and clump in their own little clumps, don't they? I'm going to tell you about a man named Stan. Where I grew up at Gleason First Down Methodist Church, when we were there, I didn't know a whole lot of the adults there. Mostly that was my fault, a very introverted, very shy little boy. But Stan served as an usher every week and a greeter every week. And he was at the door. And I think Sarah even had interaction with Stan. Because no one came through the doors of that church without meeting Stan. And without Stan getting your name. And mostly, I can remember Stan kneeling down to speak to me. And I remember the first time my little girls went to my home church. And at the back of the room, as they came in and as they left, Stan knelt down and talked to them. That's powerful. For someone who didn't grow up really falling in love with Jesus Christ, I was in and out of church. Stan is one of the few things that was an anchor for me. And he did that with every child in the church. He knew them by name. He asked what was going on in their life. Can I tell you something? Every one of us have the qualities and the capabilities that Stan had. We just don't have the focus. We're not investing. So do we hinder our children? Not purposefully, but maybe sometimes we don't put enough effort into assisting and encouraging and welcoming them. And that's probably really the truth. Why should we do it? If you have your scripture, turn over to Psalms real quick. Psalm 127 is going to give us insight into one of the things that's very important for us and why we should be pouring into our children. Psalm 127, beginning in verse 3 and going through the first part of verse 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. And for us today, I would change that and say, blessed is the church who fills its quiver with children. Amen? Every year at annual conference, we go through a list of churches that close. And every one of those churches has some things in common. They have Sunday school rooms and children's activity rooms that are empty and haven't heard a child's voice in years. And they eventually close. When we lose that voice that disrupts us, when we lose those crazy youth are playing dumb games in a sanctuary and threatening our sense of holy, when those are gone, our church will close. Our kids need us more than ever. Families don't provide the same kind of support system. And this is a place where they can find that. They can have an extended family of aunts and uncles and grandmothers and granddaddies and moms and dads who are caring for them. And so many of them don't have that at home. This is a great place for them to come and get it. We can make a dent in teenage pregnancy. We can make a dent in teenage drug abuse. We can make a dent in teenage suicide by being aunts and uncles and grandparents and parents to the children inside of our church. But we can affect those things when we don't know the names of the kids and the youth inside of our church. And the world in which our kids are growing up today, there are no safe places. They can't go to school. My youngest daughter prays every day as she goes to school, please let no one get sick or injured at school today. Protect our school and make it safe. Isn't it sad they have to pray that about their school? Folks, look around and read the news. Even churches aren't 100% safe anymore. But this is a place of hope. And our children need to know that this is a place they can come to where they're not going to be judged, where they're going to be loved and accepted and made to feel important. But the biggest reason why we need to invest in our children is because Jesus said to. The kingdom, he said, belongs to them. They are examples of how we are to enter in. He says that we're not going to be able to go in unless we go in like a child. How can we go in like a child if our children aren't leading the way? They're the ones who know what love looks like. They're the ones who get along with all ages, all races, all backgrounds, and all beliefs. We need to follow their example and dance in front of the sanctuary when the Spirit leads us and sing, "God help Lennon Scott." She has the heart of a worship leader and the voice of her father, all wrapped into one. But let me tell you what she has that I love about her every Sunday morning. Is that I can't hear myself no matter how loud I praise God, because she's praising right there with all she has. That is what worship is supposed to be about. And we all worry about, well, they might hear me. And for some of us, it's a good thing to worry about, right? But what if we could worship like the children worship? What if we could love like the children love? How much better would our walk with Christ be? The kingdom belongs to them. They are our examples, and that's why we should invest in them and follow them and be attached to their lives. So as a church, let's make sure our quiver is full of blessings from the Lord. Amen? How do we go about that? Well, it's very simple. Three simple steps. First, invest in the children we have now. We invest in them. Let's look. Let's get down and let's look at what we can do to make this church, this campus, better for children. If we have young moms who are not happy with children being in another building across the street over there, let's find a way to get those children in this building. Or let's find a way to get us in that building. That would probably be harder. Let's worry about getting them in here. Let's find a way to make that happen so that they'll come to worship and they'll feel the love and acceptance of Jesus Christ. Simple step two, make changes needed for the children that aren't here yet. Sometimes we only want to be a reactionary church. Here's the problem, let's react and fix it. Why not be a visionary church? Why not pour resources into children and youth to be the size of church that we want to be, not the size of church we are? We've done that over the last few years. We didn't really tell you. We kind of snuck it in backwards. But we've invested in our children and youth. We invested in our youth when we had 5 or 6 coming. We took 15 on that trip last week, and not all of them were present. We invested in our children. And we have a little issue that we kind of keep growing. Aaron, it's partly Aaron's fault. But we have another group of babies about to be born, and we need people and places to put those babies, because the babies that were born not long ago are kind of still in there and they're still needing care as well. We have to expand what we're offering our children because we're growing. Guys, that's not a bad problem. But it's a bad problem if we don't fix it. We need to look ahead and plan for the children that aren't here yet. And the last thing is, we need to celebrate the children we have now before they're gone. And this is the one that hurts me. Because in 4 years, my daughter won't be here. We'll get to see her at holidays, maybe, when she runs out of money. And since she can't do laundry, we will get to see her more often, but she'll probably go back to school. But she's about to be a young woman, and she'll go off on her own adventure. And so for the next 4 years, my church has the opportunity to influence her for Christ. But if we don't do it now, that 4 years is going to come and go before you know it. And we will send my daughter out into the world not fully prepared. And she's not alone. We need to celebrate the children that are here right now before they're gone, so they know who Jesus Christ is and that their church stands behind them. And guys, this is extremely important for us.